What did he say? Show me the place. Show me where it happened. And we need intervention at stage two. You were excited. You were bubbling. You were on fire for God. But now you've been stagnated. Stop. Stop. Show him the place. Show him what happened. Get along with God. Work this thing through.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Burnout. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Burnout.
Our Bible reading this morning comes from 1 Kings 19. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4. 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 4. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life, life of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he hid himself, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And this morning, I want to speak to you on a subject that touches all of our lives, whether you are a father, a mother, church worker, employee, living in a neighborhood, that all of us deal with this issue of burnout. And, you know, the Lord really kind of laid it on my heart because I was in Chicago this week and I was doing a revival. And, when I go at it, man, I try to go hard, you know, so you get preached out. So I had to ask the Lord for some extra grace this morning to come. And so he said, "Well, this will fire you up too, just to deal with the issue of burnout." One of the big problems in our country today is with people who are burning out. If you look at a lot of people that are in the helping profession, such as counselors, nurses, doctors, I was alarmed to see the number of pastors that leave the pastorate every month because of just weariness, being tired, just burned out. And so it's a problem that permeates our society today. You know, when you think of, now I think that there's probably some mental issues going on with some of these things, but when you hear about mothers that actually would drive their vehicles off the side of a cliff. When you hear years ago about a mother who drove her vehicle into a lake, you know, because the stress of being a mother, the stress of being a parent, like I said, you know, I don't want to neglect the fact that there might have been some mental health issues going on there. But what was it that took them to that point? A failure to be able to deal with the stress, a failure to be able to deal with burnout. And even the servants of God, you know, just think about the ministry that you serve in today. And it's very easy to get burned out in service. And that's what happened to Elijah. We're going to see that Elijah started with fire, and he started with zest, and he started with vigor. But somewhere we see him ending up asking God to take his life. Now look at the fire that Elijah had. Let's go back to 1 Kings 18. And so there was the prophets of Baal in the land, and they were taking over. And Elijah actually felt that he was the only one of God's prophets that was left. But God showed him a little bit later, "Nah, Elijah, you're not the only one." So Elijah, this dude is so bad, right, that he challenges one man of God to show you how excited he was. One man of God challenging 450 prophets of Baal. And then the scripture says there were four other prophets. So actually, he was dealing with 850 false prophets. Verse 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal, then follow him." Now, he didn't even get any amens. Right? Not one amen. Because it said the people answered him. Not a word. But that didn't take away from his fire. That didn't take away from his zeal for serving the Most High God. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. This brother, he's fired up. I mean, can you see the fire? He's like, okay, well, let's just take two bullocks and let's. This brother is fired up for the Lord, and put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And call ye upon the name of gods, your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord God, and the God who answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. This brother was on fire. He was excited. Are you excited about the thing? You know, in Ecclesiastes, it says, whatever you put your hand to, do it with all your might. You know, and when you think about that, what that means is wherever your hands are at. You know, wherever your hands are at, that means where you're at. So if your hands are raising children, Solomon said, do it with all your might. If your hands are working a job, that means do it with all your might. If your hands find themselves serving God, that means do it with all your might. And when you do it with all your might, that means you do it with gusto. You do it with zeal. You do it with fire. But sometimes, you know, we can get a little weary. And we don't have that same zeal that we might have had. You know, I know the male chorus, they sing a song, "Take Me Back," right? Take me back to when I first believed. Take me back. Take me back to when I first received. Why? Because there was excitement. Because there was zeal. Because there was fire. I remember when I was in seminary and being trained to exegete the word of God and to pastor a church, my good friend, Dr. Alan McFarland, at that time we were both just two poor preachers trying to serve the Lord. And we were teaching this Bible study on a Wednesday night, and we would drive out into the country. It was about 45 minutes to an hour, every Wednesday, and teach this Bible study to this country church of about maybe 15, 20 people. And we were excited just to have the opportunity to teach the Word of God. Two seminarians getting all this information, and I wasn't getting the opportunity to preach every Sunday. I might have got one preaching engagement a year. And so, you know, it was exciting to be able to go to Wednesday nights. And I remember one Wednesday night, we were riding down the road. And Pastor McFarland, he never lets me forget this, that I said, "Man, preacher." And he jumped and he said, "What?" I said, "Just think, one day we're going to get paid to do this." Man, I mean, we're just excited. And you know, I know, and I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, sometimes, you know, it gets a little weary. You know, when you get busy, you'll go into meetings during the week, and, you know, if you have a funeral, and then you know, do some counseling, and you know, and then you don't have time to get into the message like you want to. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it's like, man, is there somebody I can call this Sunday to come preach? Because that fire might not be there. And I always try to go back to that. That when I was at that seminarian with no preaching opportunities, just how excited it was to teach this Bible study. And so I'm asking you today, where's your excitement? Is your excitement in the ministry that God has called you to? Is your excitement about being a father, about being a mother, about being a spouse? You know, where's your excitement at? Sometimes we can get a little weary, and we see that's what happened to Elijah. And notice that not only did he have fire, but God gave him a powerful victory. Look at verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. Now, you notice what's going on here is that these guys are on Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel, which is up in the mountains. There's no water up at Mount Carmel. So these guys are going down off of Mount Carmel to get water and to bring it back up the mountain. And the first time that they bring it up, he says, pour it on the sacrifice and on the wood. Man, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? But not only does he does it again, and he does it again. And this is how confident he is in what God is going to do. And we see that verse 35, and the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. This brother, look, his relationship with God is exciting. His relationship with God is fresh. He's connecting with God on deep and intimate levels. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed. This is amazing, right? And I believe that's why he had them pour the water on that, all that water on it. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. That was some bad fire. You know, I could see it consuming the sacrifice and the wood and maybe even the stones, but it said it licked up the dust. And then the water, the fire was so bad that it evaporated the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. What a powerful victory. What an exciting time in the life of Elijah. And why is it that we see in the very next chapter, the brother is discouraged, he's depressed, and he wants God to take his life. See, something went on that took that enthusiasm, that took that fire away from him. He no longer had that same zeal. Even just coming out of a victory, that something was taken from him. My friend, has it been that there was something in the things of the Lord that you used to be excited about, and now your zeal is gone? I remember when I first came here to Bethany Baptist Church, there was one of the members that came and told me that they had been serving for a long time and that they were sitting down and that they weren't going to do another thing. And to be honest with you, I think the person came to church a little while longer after that, but they were true to their word. You know, they stepped away, and I don't even see them today. And so, you know, I don't know what happened, but something happened where they were in service to the Lord, and they no longer felt that passion and that desire to serve God anymore. And as we think about burnout, what are some symptoms of burnout? Well, we see that when a person is burned out, especially spiritually, that there's no desire to spend time with God. There was a time when you were passionate about your time with God. You couldn't wait to come and spend time with God. Then it's like that old Larnell Harris song, right? That God is waiting for you to share with you, to minister to you, and you just kind of brush him on the side. No desire to spend time with God. There's an emptiness in your spirit. You know, where one time you had dreams and visions and you were excited, that there's now an emptiness. There's discouragement. There's little or no passion. You feel exhausted. You know, sometimes you don't even want to deal with what you have to deal with because you say that, man, this just wears me out. Man, these people just drain me. I'm just tired of dealing with these people because they just take, and I'm just exhausted from all that that I've given. Powerlessness. You know, there's no power in your ministry, that you're not seeing any fruit. You're not seeing God use you in mighty ways. There's impatience with others. You know, that you are short. You know, you see the faults in others. You're impatient with their faults. Apathy, just a kind of like I don't care attitude. Lack of focus. You know, you don't, you're scattered in the things that you do, and your mind is not focused on anything. You withdraw from others. There's doubt and fear, and then there's a loss of joy. Does that capture where you're at this morning? Anyone here? What are some major causes of burnout? Some major causes of burnout: becoming overwhelmed. You know, you've just taken on too much. And I personally know times when I've taken on too much, and there's just that sense of, man, you know, it seemed like you got the weight of the whole world on your shoulder. It just seems like everybody is dependent on you, and everybody's drawn from you, and you just seem like you're overwhelmed, and you just get to the place where, you know, I just don't have anything else to give. Loss of personal management. That you no longer have control of your life, your schedule, that, you know, you're at the dictates of other people, you're at the whims of everybody else, and personal management, you no longer have control. And then sometimes people get burned out because they labor under unrealistic expectations. Maybe you set goals that were too high for yourself and you didn't reach those goals, and then you got discouraged and you got depressed because you didn't reach the goals, and the next thing you know, you know, you just kind of going, we could flip the script back to the slide before, right? that one of those things that were on the slide before is characteristic of you, because you just didn't reach the goals that you had laid out for yourself. The experts tell us that there are four stages of burnout. The four stages of burnout are enthusiasm, and I'm going to go through each one of these. Enthusiasm, stagnation, frustration, and apathy. Those are the four stages of burnout. And, you know, maybe you go through them, you know, stage by stage, and, you know, maybe you might skip over a stage, but these are the characteristic stages of an individual that has been burned out. If we look at 1 Kings 18, we see some things about Elijah. And the fact is that this brother had reason to be burned out. Look at chapter 18, verse 45. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So this brother ran from Mount Carmel to Jezreel. From Mount Carmel to Jezreel. That was 20 miles that he ran ahead of Ahab. 20 miles. And then look at chapter 19 and verses 1 through 3. And we can look specifically at verse 3. And he arose, and he saw that he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba. So he leaves Jezreel and he goes to Beersheba, which is, check this out, 90 miles. 90 miles. He ran 10 miles ahead of Ahab. That was 20 miles. He travels another 90 miles from Jezreel to Beersheba. And then look at verse 4. But he himself, he goes another day in the wilderness. And this was another 20 miles. Is there no reason? This brother, you know, just think about some of the things that was happening. He was running, and if, you know, as we think back, he lost personal management. He became overwhelmed. You know, he had unrealistic goals. You know, the fact that he thought that everything was going to be fine now. But he gets opposition. So this stage, one, is characterized by enthusiasm, you know, high energy and expectations. This brother's on the go. He's jacked, man. You know, he's excited about the things that he's doing. And maybe it has been. Man, you got into doing something. You got into serving God. And you were excited, right? You couldn't wait. This thing was great. You know, he just saw this great victory that God had done. And the fire and the zeal was there. But notice what I put up here. In this stage, a person is being set up for burnout, because you're going, you're doing, and you're losing touch, in a sense, with reality and the things that you need to be doing. And so that leads us to the second stage. Stage one is enthusiasm, and then stage two. And some of you know about stage two, and that is stagnation, and that is becoming stalled, all right? You were excited about what you were doing, but somebody said something to you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Burnout. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Burnout, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Burnout. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Burnout. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.